Good morning, and welcome to one of my favorite services of the year, our lovely Flower Communion. Please open a hymnal to number 65, The Sweet June Days. Turn to number 207, which is Earth Was Given as a Garden. Number 207.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers. Inspired by love, we transform ourselves and serve others. My name is Jennifer Grant, and I'm your worship associate this morning. I have been a Unitarian Universalist for 26 years. I have made the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers my spiritual home since January 2012. For me, the gift of joining a Unitarian Universalist church is sharing your gifts, talents, and joy with the congregation. I love singing with the choir. I am honored to serve as your worship associate this morning. Our theme for the month of June is Honoring Earth. While I'm not a fan of Mother Earth during our summers here in Southwest Florida, I don't particularly like humidity or rainy days and nights. I do, however, have a sweet spot for flowers. Unitarian Universalist churches across the country and world have an annual flower communion. I must say, it's one of my favorites, not just because of the beautiful flowers, but because of the beautiful story behind the flowers. We will share that story later in the service. If you are new to our church, you are in for a treat. I hope you had the opportunity to stop by our welcome table. You will find a connection card that looks like this in the pews in front of you. If you are a guest today, the connection card will give us a chance to get to know a little bit more about you. Please place it in the basket when the offering is taken. We are a very active congregation, so please include your email address in the connection card so you can receive our online newsletter to learn about upcoming church events. I also invite you to come to church this Wednesday night for our community dinner and participate in the activities after our social dinner. And of course, if you'd like to join our music team, there's plenty of room in our loft. Please join us for the choir rehearsals after our social dinner and on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We always welcome new singers. Please join us after the service for refreshment, fellowship, and coffee right next door in Hobart Hall. You'll want to go out these doors and make a right. For our new guests, please use the large yellow coffee mugs for two reasons. The first one is the yellow coffee mugs are larger and hold more coffee. And second, so our members and friends can find you easier to greet you in Hobart Hall. We would love to meet you after the service. I would like to invite our chalicider to light our chalice this morning, and he is Nicholas St. Amour. And Nick has been a UU since birth. He is the epitome of a creative, free-thinking, open-hearted UU youth. If you have ever hung out near the sanctuary during coffee hour, you may have heard Nick jamming on his guitar while Evan Carville rocks the drums. Nick is an avid rocker who rules the horn and is learning drums and the piano. While he isn't lighting the chalice, he is accepting musical gigs. Please rise in body and spirit and join us in the singing of our covenant. The words are on the screen and in your order of worship.
Love is the spirit of this church, and so
we come in a variety of colors, shapes, and sizes. Some of us grow in bunches, and some of us grow alone. Some of us are cupped inward, and some of us spread ourselves out wide. Some of us are old and dried and tougher than we appear, and some of us are still in a bud. Some of us grow low to the ground, and some of us stretch toward the sun. Some of us feel like weeds sometimes, and sometimes some of us carry seeds. Some of us are prickly sometimes, and some of us smell, but all of us are beautiful. What a bouquet of people we are.
Good morning. Today, we welcome into our community these new members who have chosen to make this congregation their spiritual home. Alberita Johnson. Daniel Swetland. And Jersey Blosser.
New members, we are so glad to have you here with us and that you have chosen this community of fellow seekers to travel with you on your life journeys. Will you accept our gifts of fellowship, discovery, and service? Will you offer us your unique gifts and presence? Will you add your name to the long history of Unitarian Universalist people who spread hope with our living faith? Will you engage with us as we seek to create a community and a world dedicated to love and justice? And congregation, as you affirm these new members, you also affirm the integrity of your own membership. Do we covenant to grow in love and spirit with these new members on this special day?
We do.
Can I hear that one more time?
With great rejoicing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And now let us say together the covenant of this church. It's the promise that we make each week to ourselves and to each other that holds our community together with common purpose and common love amidst all our beautiful differences. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. And so just so everyone knows what's happening, they were signing the book, and so we have signatures that go all the way back to 1961, and even before then when we weren't an official congregation. What they also received was the name tag, which is always a very big deal. And then also, it's this pouch of stones, and these are called the five smooth stones, and it represents some ideas that I wanted to share with you that come from the white Unitarian theologian named James Luther Adams, who died in 1994. And he agreed with many of us in understanding that sometimes it's difficult or challenging to talk about Unitarian Universalism, because when people approach you and talk to you about the church you just joined, they might make assumptions or ask you, well, what do you all believe? But instead, what we do is we have a covenant, and we center around what we love. But these are touchstones of the faith that you might talk about with people. And it comes from an essay that he wrote called Free Principles for a Guiding Faith. And the five smooth stones of religious liberalism include the following. One is the stone of respect. Now, the stone of respect is the reminder that we are here to respect one another in all the variety of opinions and ways of being in the world that each and every one of us brings. And we develop the understanding that spiritual growth depends on this free discourse. And so that's the stone of respect. Now, there's also the stone, the stone of justice, which is very powerful. It's the reminder that we are here to care for one another, and we also have a moral obligation to direct our efforts towards the establishment of a just and loving community. And we're called to look at injustices not only in our own lives, but in the lives of complete strangers. So this is the stone of justice. And now here's the stone of power. So often religious liberals forget that we are powerful, and that we're powerful not only as individuals, but that we have the moral obligation to build our power as an institutional collective, and also to challenge those institutions that do not serve in building a just and loving community. So we're here to be on the side of love and to work with our power. And then there's the stone of hope. This is the reminder that, as the words of Theodore Parker that were then echoed by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, that yes, the arc of the moral universe does bend towards justice. And that we understand that the human condition is sometimes tragic, that none of us get out of here alive. And yet in our living, we might continue to affirm a faith in hope, that love always wins. The stone of hope. There's also the stone that I skipped at the beginning, which is the stone of possibility. The stone of possibility is the reminder that our learning here is continuous. If you think you know something, suddenly you learn something new, and that we're always encountering mystery. And so that stone of possibility allows us to continue to humbly come to life again and again, and to always be learning and growing. And so I give you the stone of possibility. These stones are touchstones to your growing faith, and understanding that you will continue to live into these touchstones in ways that are unknown to us, but they will enrich our community and enrich and enliven this world. And so may these 5 smooth stones serve you on your membership journey, and may it be a lifelong learning. Blessed be. And now it is our opportunity to give a round of applause and rejoicing as our new members, Alberita, Jersey, and Dan, return to their seats. Thank you.
And body or spirit, as we join together in singing number 346, Come Sing a Song with Me.
Oh,
In the city of Prague, in the land of Czechoslovakia, in the year 1923, there was a church. But the building did not look much like a church. It had no bells, no spires, no stained glass windows. It had no organ to make beautiful music. It didn't even have a piano. It had no carvings of wood or statues of stone. It had no candle or chalices. It had no flowers. The church did have something. It had four walls and a ceiling and a floor. It had a door and a few windows. It had some wooden chairs, but that was all, plain and simple. Except the church also had people who came to it every Sunday. It had a minister, and his name was Norbert Čapek. He had been the minister at this plain and simple church for 2 years. Every Sunday, Minister Čapek went to church, and he spoke to the people while they listened, sitting quietly and still in those hard wooden chairs. When he was done speaking, the people talked a little bit amongst themselves, and then they went home. And that was all. No music, no candles, no food, not even coffee or donuts. Springtime came to the city of Prague, and Norbert Čapek went out for a stroll. The rains had come, the birds were singing, and flowers were blooming all over the land. The world was beautiful. Then an idea came to him, simple and clear, plain as day. The next Sunday, he asked all the people in the church to bring a flower, or a budding branch, or even a twig. Each person was to bring one. What kind, they asked. What color, what size? You choose, he said. Each of you choose what you like. And so, on the next Sunday, which was the first day of summer, the people came with flowers of all different colors and sizes and kinds. There were yellow daisies and red roses. There were white lilies and blue asters, dark-eyed pansies and light green leaves, pink and purple, orange and gold. There were all those colors and more. Flowers filled the vases, and the church wasn't plain and simple anymore. Minister Čapek spoke to those people while they listened, sitting quiet and still in those hard wooden chairs. These flowers are like ourselves, he said. Different colors and different shapes and different sizes, each needing different kinds of care, but each beautiful, each important, and each special in its own way. When he was done speaking, the people talked a little bit amongst themselves, and then they each chose a different flower from the vase before they went home. And that was all. And it was beautiful, plain, and simple as the day.
Join together in singing number 396, I Know This Rose Will Open, and we'll sing it through three times.
Thank you. By exchanging flowers in this service, participants follow the example of Norbert Chapek. He believed each of us are unique and different. And when we come together to worship or learn, we create a bouquet of beautiful people. Today, we have placed our flowers in a common vase, remembering we are all individuals, but also people of a common faith. Flower bearer, please bring the flower vase to the altar.
Please join us in the spirit of prayer and blessing. Children of the earth and sky, we are given warmth and light from above and below. Supported by earth's strong, firm ground, we build homes, till fields, and plant gardens. When we are aware of blossoms, birds, and sky, then earth is truly our home. We are one with all earth's creatures. Blessed be.
The communion we are about to celebrate in has taken place all over the world in the Unitarian Universalist churches since 1923. Norbert Chapek started this ritual to celebrate the beauty of our faith and the people in it. In each flower, Chapek saw hope for humanity, even though he would later die because of his beliefs. Let us remember him and his principles and his dreams.
Spirit of life, bless us. Remind us that we meet in fellowship and love. Even though we're all different, we gather as one in love. Let us remember that we gather in friendship.
Friendship is the most precious gift. Let us remember that we all do what we can, and we are all needed to make this beautiful world. Let's share in flower communion. Each of you will come up and choose a flower not made by your hands. Hold it with care. It is a gift somebody else has made for you with love.
And so we invite you forward to the altar to find a flower. And during this time, you may also offer a stone of intention, which you may have picked up in the front, or you can find in the pillars at the front and at the sides. And that may be something that's in honor of a sacred intention, a joy, or a sorrow in your life. Yeah. And my hope is that as you pick up this flower, you can begin to embrace the spirit of abundance that is among us in friendship, and also that we might celebrate our differences. And my prayer is that when you offer the stone, it brings you peace.
Thank you.
those of you who, for any reason, do not have the inkling or the inclination to come forward, if you raise your hands, we can have helpers come and bring a flower to you. Your gift is so welcome in this community. We use flowers to help symbolize the love that is hidden deep within us. Flowers are beautiful, and so are the feelings of love among us. We have brought our flowers and our love to brighten our church and to make our hearts glad. Alleluia.
Thank you. Each of us is a flower with a delicate beauty uniquely our own. We may be like sunflowers, turning always towards the light. May our lives bloom like the flowers.
We may be like night blooming Sirius, only displaying our fragrant petals. When it is dark and we think no one can see. May our lives bloom like the flowers.
We may be hothouse flowers, far from our native lands, cautiously tended within a harsh and unfamiliar climate.
May our lives bloom like the flowers. We may be gray-headed like dying dawn, eager to launch into the new generation, the first strong gust of wind, past our own birth youth. We're ready to pass our wisdom on and precious gust on our carried seeds. May our lives bloom like the flowers.
Some of us, sometimes, spring up overnight and fade in the hot glare.
May our lives bloom like the flowers. Some of us sometimes are roses, slowly assembling petal after tightly wrapped petal, and revealing our full glory only when everything is in place. May our lives bloom like the flowers.
Sometimes we are roadside weeds, loveliness bursting improbably from the dust and debris.
May our lives bloom like the flowers. May we offer our beauty with the simplicity of flowers, expecting no recognition, hoping for nothing, giving out of what we are, and knowing it is enough.
May our lives bloom like the flowers.
Amen.
Amen.
May we offer our beauty with the simplicity of flowers, expecting no recognition, hoping for nothing, giving out of what we are, and knowing it is enough. All praise the abundance that is before us. You know, sometimes in our Unitarian Universalist tradition, we get caught up in literal mindedness. We're intellectuals. We don't check our brains at the door, right? We're all about reason, but sometimes emotions can take hold and take over. And sometimes those emotions can be love cloaked in all kinds of strange ways through bitterness, anger, fear. Because in the end, it is love that is hidden deep within us. Love abundantly blooming within us, yearning for connect, for relationship, yearning to gather itself together in a beautiful bouquet. In so many of the best practices that I like to bring into our small group gatherings, when we get together in smaller groups as Unitarian Universalists, often ask us to make some kind of a covenant, which is, you know, how we want to be together, the promises that we want to make of how we want to be together. And one of the ones that I like to share is perhaps a best practice is to assume good intentions. To assume that there is a deep, yearning, bubble spring of love within each of us. And that even when you encounter someone who seems to be on their worst behavior, that somewhere in there, and it may be deep, deep down in the dirt, there is love. And there is a yearning for love and connection. If we're but willing to be patient and suss it out, to allow the roots to draw it up through the stem until it comes up, and unfurls, I know this rose will open. It's a song of faith. It's a song of hope. And we don't check our brains at the door, and yet at the same time, we're invited in these spaces to embrace metaphor. Ta-da! Lynn Unger, she's a fellow colleague of mine. She served at my home congregation at Second Unitarian Church of Chicago. We speak her words every Sunday. Did you know that? When we say, by the work of our hands and the work of our hearts. Well, she also said something else that I really love. She said, metaphors be with you. So sometimes in our intellectual ways of being, we lose the power of metaphor. And how powerful can it be to look at this beautiful bouquet? And we put the ribbon around it to remind us of our connection, of this common vase in which we're all held. And understanding that some of these flowers were grown in the hothouse and others were found at the side of the road and others were lovingly grown and gardened and tilled. And they're all welcome here. Wherever you are on your journey, whatever you bring in your heart, however deep down hidden that love is, this is the place where it can be discovered. I've told this story a million times, and I'll tell it over and over again. It was where I found who I was and my calling. I found it in community. Yes, every single beautiful blossom and individual is to be treasured. And yet look what happens when we gather into the beautiful bouquet. When I was a kid in my 20s at Second Unitarian in Chicago, I go there and I don't know who I'm going to be and what I'm going to be in the world. And yet someone saw that I was in bud. There were people in that church who saw things in me that I wasn't yet ready to see. And sometimes those were things that needed to be reflected back as positive critique. Speaking the truth in love. And some of those things allowed me to grow and allowed me to acknowledge the other feedback I got from people when said, you know, you should be a minister. What? They saw and planted seeds. And this place is, of course, is a place where I continue to feel blooming in this call to ministry, which is such a gift from all of you. We live in a culture that wants to tell us to take everything literally and to cut ourselves off from that deep down love, to even think that death is something that wins. But our faith says that love is something that wins no matter what. These blooms will fade, but the power of the metaphor, the power of the bouquet, of the common vase, the power of human lives coming together to do something beautiful and powerful, that never dies. And on the other side of things, we understand that the power of institutions who have continued to perpetuate oppression, racism, heteronormative activity, you know, all of the isms. We're seeing them all on the political landscape right now. We understand that those institutions have power to keep going as they're going. And so there are places like us, these eccentric, funky, bright places that not only have the calling to feel good and come together, but we also have the moral obligation to build our power together to use it so that everyone blooms. That this bouquet is not just about us in this room, but it's about a world that could be in bloom. And all the memorial services that we have here in this sacred space, we know that people die, some expected, some not, and yet at the same time, what we do know, no matter what we don't understand about what happens after we die, what we do know is that if we plant seeds of love, they are never lost. But our job is to remind the generations that come along to continue to tend the soil and to live into the power of building community so that we can continue the long, long struggle of bending the moral arc of the universe to justice. And so there may be seeds that some of you in this room have been planting all your lives that you may or may not see sprout, grow up to the sun and bloom. But for all of us, especially in the younger generations are here, we are reminded that we can continue to sow the seeds of love. We can continue to make sure that every living thing can be nurtured and held. And this, again, is a vision of abundance. The understanding that there's that deep love that we draw from that's available for everyone, overflowing. And that that love is available for everyone. So often, we're not enough. We don't have enough around us. We don't have enough time. Change the story. Change the story to a story of abundance. Imagine a time when there is a way to live into your most sacred intentions, even though it may feel like there's not enough time or there's not enough money. If we gather our power together, there will always be enough. So it is a powerful metaphor, this bouquet. For though the flowers themselves will die away and return to the earth, they will become part again of this abundant, generative work that is life and love. And the image of this funky bouquet will remain with us. Metaphors be with you.
And let us join in embracing the metaphor of springtime in our hearts as we sing number 305, De Colores, the beautiful traditional Spanish folk song. And please rise in body or spirit.
All the colors.
You are now holding a different flower than you came in with this morning. Each flower was given with love and received with love. Here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, we give generously with love to our church, and we donate all of our undesignated funds collected during the offering to a different charity every month. During the month of June, our community sharing recipient is Salus Care, and Salus Care is the largest comprehensive provider in Southwest Florida for individuals with mental health and or substance abuse issues. And don't forget to offer your connection card in the offertory basket as it passes by. So we can, if you want to give love to our church community, you may write a check and put UUCFM in the memo line, or you may put cash in one of the yellow envelopes and select UUCFM. All undesignated funds will be given to the Salus Care. The morning offering will now be given and graciously received.
Trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. Well, they're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, and I watch them grow. They'll learn more than I will ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
As we receive your generosity, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join in speaking unison words from Lynn Unger. By the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our love is made real. May we be grateful for all that is given and grateful for all that is shared. And now let us join in singing Carry the Flame as we extinguish the chalice.
May the love that makes life beautiful, the reverence that makes life holy, and the truth that makes us free lead us onwards together into a deepening and growing communion of life. Amen.